Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, it's Justin Richmond. Today we're going to hear a chat with one of my favorite artists from 2021, Atlanta singer-songwriter Faye Webster. We'll get into her backstory in a minute, but first, let's hear her perform the title song off her new album, I Know I'm Funny, Ha Ha, live from the Shangri-La Control Room.
Let's sit around and drink some sake, and we can argue about the same thing. Talk about neighbors on our front porch. I wonder if they know we're moving. Hope they don't know my landlord personally. 'Cause I never told them you moved in with me. But fuck him, he kept my money. Sisters are so pretty. Got drunk and they forgot they met me. I made her laugh one time at dinner. She said I'm funny, and I thanked her. I know I'm funny, ha ha.
Trying that one.
We go through phases when we're over us. Right now we both wanna be rock stars. Got you a bass last year on your birthday. Same one the guy from Linkin Park plays. You look better with it. Anyways,
that was Faye Webster performing her song, I Know I'm Funny, Ha Ha. Faye stopped by Shangri-La earlier this month in between stops on her tour opening for Wilco. The 24-year-old singer-songwriter started releasing music independently when she was just 16 years old. In 2017, her second album was released through Awful Records, home to the Atlanta Hip Hop Collective. Faye was a bit of an outlier on that rap-heavy label, but working with them gave her a different perspective on recording than she otherwise would have had. In the years since, Faye Webster has gotten critical acclaim from Rolling Stone and Pitchfork, and even ended up with a coveted placement on Barack Obama's 2020 Spotify playlist. On today's episode, I talked to Faye about artists like the Ramones and Garth Brooks influencing her writing style. Faye also plays some songs live, as well as an early demo version of her song, Cheers.
This is Broken Record, liner notes for the digital age. I'm Justin Richmond.
Here's my conversation with Faye Webster.
How long you been on tour already, like for this tour?
Only like 2 weeks. It's kind of short, this stretch. But we had just got off tour from a month-long tour.
Before this?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the East Coast.
Was that your first tour back?
It was.
How was that, getting back at it?
It was fun. I feel like the first like three shows were like weird. But after the fourth show, I was like, oh, this is completely like, I understand. Because like the past year, I've just been like sitting at home. So it's just like, I forgot like how stressful of a hustle touring is. But it's also like such a normal thing to me at this point.
Nice.
So I think it just took a second to get back into the groove.
Did you enjoy just staying at home for like a year, year and a half?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I did, because when I'm not touring, I'm just like, that's what I'm doing anyways. It's very normal to me.
When did you first start touring?
I think my first tour was 2017.
2017. So how old were you?
I was born in 97.
Right. So 20-ish. You know,
I think that sounds about right, because my first tour, I wasn't old enough to drink. And then I went to Europe and I could drink there because the drinking age is lower. I remember getting like really drunk in Europe on my first tour, and I like left my guitar in like some crazy city that I could not get back to. I think I was in Glasgow.
That is a crazy city.
And then I think I went back to London or something.
Without
and
your
I was
guitar?
Like, damn, I was hungover as fuck and I left my guitar in Glasgow. That sucks.
Any other good tour stories?
Probably. My concept of time is so messed up.
Yeah.
When I'm touring, and I feel like I don't think of things until it's like, oh yeah, like I remember that. And it's like, when was that? Where was that? But I don't know. I have no idea.
It's funny, because I feel like for most people who don't like just go on tour, most people felt like the last year kind of warped time for them. Like they had no way to like kind of measure or count time. But for you, it was just like, that might not have been the case. It's like normal, if touring life, just your normal sort of life as a musician, caused you to sort of have that not being tethered to time feeling.
Yeah.
Was it like different for you then, the pandemic? Do you think you experienced it different?
I guess so. I feel like it's so different per person anyways, you know? But I feel like over the pandemic, time like flew by somehow. But also like, it was nice because it was just like in the moment. But tour, it's like last week seems like last month to me right now. When you're actually moving around.
Do you enjoy it? Like,
I do. I feel like I enjoy both. Like I enjoy being home, but I also like, I enjoy being on tour. It's like when I'm on tour, I'm like, I can't wait to get home. And then when I'm home, I'm like, I can't wait to get on tour. And I just go through this cycle for the rest of my life.
When you were younger, did you want to be a professional musician? Like go out, like make a living touring and making records or?
Not really. I mean, I wanted to make music. And then it was like, it wasn't until like senior year of high school when there was actually pressure. And it was like, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? And like that moment of just like applying to colleges and stuff, I was like, I guess this is the only thing I know how to do. But I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to be a touring musician and like putting out records. It was just like, I play music. That's all I know what to do right now.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like that just like escalated into what it is.
And you had already put out a record by that point, right? Your first, very first record.
Yeah.
You would have put out in high school.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. What got you started playing music? What got you interested?
My brother plays music and he's a few years older than me. So I feel like kind of just like sitting in my room and hearing him through the walls in the house, I was just like, that's kind of cool.
What was he playing?
He was like a Ramones fan.
Yeah.
And like whatever like classic rock my dad listened to, I feel like he kind of fell into that. So yeah, he was just like in the basement setting up shitty amps and stuff, shitty microphones, and just like playing music.
Playing Blitzkrieg Bop.
Yeah.
Was it, and this was in Atlanta?
Yes.
Cool. When do you start discovering like the larger music scene in Atlanta? Like when does that happen?
Not till like high school. I was playing open mics all the time because it was the only chance I had to play songs, not in my bedroom. And I think that's when I started to meet people and be like, there's music that exists. That's not what my parents are listening to. That's not what my brother is listening to. Like, that's crazy. I feel like it wasn't until like high school that I figured that out.
Wow. And were you writing at that time? Like, were you like the songs you were playing at the open mics?
Yeah. I mean, they sucked. But I was writing songs.
What got you writing?
I don't know. I feel like when I learned guitar, I was just playing covers over and over. And like even going to guitar lessons, I would just print out lyrics and they would just like write the chord above the lyric, like when it's time to change to the chord. And I feel like, I mean, I had like 10 binders full of these lessons. So I feel like I was just like, maybe I should try to write my own songs to where they can't do this to my songs. Like they can't tell me what to play when, you know?
Would you take those into your teacher or would you just quit lessons and like?
Eventually I switched teachers and I started off with like a guitar teacher and then I went to like, oh, maybe I'll try a songwriting teacher. And I would just like play songs, which is kind of terrifying because they wrote good songs and I didn't. I feel like I didn't even think about it being like, I want to write my own songs. I think I just like started doing it from all those guitar lessons that I first took where they just wrote the chords above the lyrics. I feel like that's kind of when I would eventually choose to change the key of songs just to like play those chords.
Those are the chords, like if you sit down on the guitar, you just start playing those more often than not.
Slick, yes. I don't even know what they are.
And
I truly cannot tell you.
And are there any songs that you've written using like those, exactly those chords?
Yeah, a lot.
Anything you can play?
Do you want me to play a song?
Sure.
Till I find something better to spend my time, but nothing's so appealing. Nothing really lasts that long for me to realize I'm still alone and you're not with me. Wonder what's inside your mind, but you seem pretty occupied and leave it alone. Change your name and make it my own. Will you, will you, will you, will you, will you, will you be with me? Will you, will you, will you, will you, will you, will you be with me? But everything seems boring to me. I don't know what to do. Got two friends that I could see, but they got two jobs and a baby. I just wanna see you. Pending on our time apart, the better that distractions are, and there isn't a lot. Times I thought you here to realize, but I figured it out. Will you, will you, will you, will you, will you, will you be with me? Will you, will you, will you, will you, will you, will you be with me? Will you, will you, will you, will you?
two chords long. It's different.
Nice. Fucking love that, man. Like, you have a really nice groove. And there's also a lot of repetition in your songs, which are like,
yeah,
well, one, two chords, like you said.
Yeah.
Even like the will ya, and...
I feel like I appreciate that in songwriting. Just like, sometimes like, it should just be simple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can play two chords and write a song. You can play two chords and write a fucking good song. The little things that get overlooked is the cool shit to me.
Might also be the Ramones influence creeping in.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Oh goodness.
There's no shame in that. Who doesn't love the Ramones?
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Faye Webster after a quick break.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire. We're back with more from my conversation with Faye Webster.
Do you remember the first song you wrote?
Yeah, the first song I wrote, I literally just like used the same melody as a Miley Cyrus song and I changed the words. And I remember my best friend got so mad at me and she was like, delete this audio file. Like, you're going to get sued. Like, we're like in elementary school. Like, I was in like fifth grade. So I don't even remember, but it was like what it even was. I just remember like, I just changed the lyrics, used the same melody. And I was like, I wrote a song. My friend was like, no.
What Miley song? What song did you change?
It was, I think it's just called I Miss You.
Okay.
I don't know. It was like very early. It was like, what's I was really into the song that she wrote with her dad on the airplane.
I don't know that one.
On the show.
I missed out. I don't really get these references, but I know Miley. How'd you record that?
I feel like my brothers had like cool stuff, especially since he's older. Both of them were into like making movies for a little bit. So they had like the Zoom recorder and like cool shit connected to our PC. And I feel like maybe I did it there. I don't even know.
So fifth grade, you started writing and recording like your earliest stuff.
Yeah, which is crazy to think about because I don't remember writing songs in fifth grade, but I remember like performing at my fifth grade graduation.
In one of your songs?
The Miley Cyrus song.
The Miley Cyrus, did you?
But I sang the real one.
Oh, the real one, not your version.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You should have sang your version.
I know.
Did you play guitar?
I was.
When you performed that? Did you play the guitar and sing?
I was playing guitar.
Wow. That's fucking impressive for a fifth grader.
But the first song I ever learned was Lola.
The Kinks?
Yeah. It's the first song I ever learned. Don't know why. I guess because my brother. Yeah.
It's classic rock radio staple. But the Kinks are incredible.
Yeah.
So classic rock, punk rock, early on, like Ramones at least, is what you were, that's just what you're hearing around the house?
Yeah, or like that's what my dad would play and my brother. But then my mom would play like Western swing music, which I think I gravitated towards more.
Like Texas Playboys and...
Yeah, like Asleep at the Wheel was one of our favorite bands growing up.
Wow.
Alison Krauss, Garth Brooks, shit like that.
Alison Krauss, that's a really, I don't know, that's pretty evolved taste, I feel like.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like it makes so much sense. And that's interesting you say that because I've said that to people before and they're like, really? Well, my mom is from Texas and like grew up listening to like soft country like that, I feel like. I think she just put me on before she put on all y'all.
Man, so what was it about Alison Krauss that drew you in?
Definitely her voice. I was like, this is crazy. Like it truly sounds unreal. Like a CGI Vocaloid. It's just like too perfect all the time.
It's heavenly.
But I also like that she played the violin.
Yeah.
I like tried to take violin lessons a bunch and I just sucked. I was so bad at it. I was like, I can't do this. But it was also like, I mean, growing up, I would only hear male artists. So I feel like finally when my mom started playing me Alison Krauss, I was like, oh, like girls can do this too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's fucking sick. She was very inspirational for me.
And I got to say, if you're only hearing male artists, especially if it's like the Ramones and like Zeppelin, you know, like your usual, like her voice would really cut through the noise.
Truly.
I'm not super familiar with Atlanta. When I think of Atlanta, I think really great R&B, really great hip hop. You know, like I guess there's rock and roll bands around. Like I don't really, you know, but I don't really think of it like that way.
Yeah.
Was that like, were you plugged into that stuff growing up? Were you hearing that? I mean, born in 97, like
yeah,
everything's hitting. That
I like Atlanta because it's just like, there's everything. It's like, what do you want? And then you can find that there. You can go see like a garage rock band and you can also go see like sick ass rap and R&B artists. And you can also go see like singer-songwriters at like a weird open mic. I don't know. It's like, I really appreciate that about Atlanta.
So once you got to high school, you started finding your own music. What were you finding?
I feel like that's when I was finding like folk music or like folk rock music. I was listening to Dawes's record, Nothing Is Wrong, a lot in high school. That was one of my favorite records in high school.
How did you end up recording your first record in high school?
My friend had moved to Nashville, so I was just like going there a lot. And it was just like, it was really my dad that was like, you're playing these open mics all the time and then you have like nothing to give to people. I'm like, okay. Like, do they even want something? Like, I didn't even know. But I had these songs, and it was just like, I knew so many people in Nashville that made music.
And how'd you know people there?
Because my friend moved there that I met also in, like, the open mic stuff. When she moved, I would just, like, go visit her and, like, sing with her and, like, play music with her.
It's recorded really well.
Like, it's just, like, in a house. I recorded both my first two records in just... like bedrooms.
You had an engineer, obviously, and all that, right? Yeah, because it's recorded. It makes sense that it's for yeah. Nashville.
I haven't listened to it in so long.
For real?
So it's good to know.
Do you play anything off of that record still?
No. I barely play stuff off my self-titled record.
Do you feel a connection to any of the songs anymore?
Definitely not my first record. There's some songs on my self-titled that I'm like, this still represents me in some way. Like at one point, it did really well, and it doesn't anymore, but I still like, there's moments where I'm like, I enjoy playing this song because it makes me feel like I just started playing music again. My self-titled was when I was just like, oh, I'm taking this seriously now.
How do you get from that self-titled or from the first record to the self-titled, which was like, it's pretty experimental for like
how
old you might have been at the time. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the first one is like very Nashville-esque. And then when I realized that I don't like Nashville, like I was just spending more time back home in Atlanta, and like my brothers moved to Athens, so I was spending a lot of time in Athens, and just the music scene in Athens is really, really sick.
What's that like?
It's just like I literally call shit like Athens rock. Like I don't know what you call it, but it's like, so I feel like it's like specific.
Is there like a band we could listen to or something?
Well, R.E.M. is from Athens.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
My brother's in a really cool band called Wayuka. But the Wigs are from Athens. I don't know, it's kind of iconic. And I was just like spending a lot of time there, and they had like shows and stuff that I feel like Atlanta didn't really have the same like intimate vibe as Athens did.
Because it's a small town.
I don't know, I think so. And just like, it's also so supportive, the way that Atlanta is supportive. So I was spending also a lot of time there. And that's when I was like meeting my brother's friends that make music and like truly experiencing like what it's like to be at a show, or like what it's right. like to like watch somebody record music. And that's when I just like clicked with it, and I've like made all the rest of my records there. But I don't know, it's really sick.
How did you get on Awful Records for that second record?
I was just a fan. I was literally a fan, and was like messaging Ethereal a lot, just like sending my music, and he would like send me his music. Eat Humans would like sell photo prints at their shows, and I would like buy photos from him, and just like became friends. And then I think like the year I dropped out of college, I was just with them every day, because I was just like watching and learning. And then when it got time for me to put out another record, they were just like, you're already here. You're already here every day. Like, why don't you just like do this with us?
And how would you explain that label to people? I feel like maybe not.
It's really like, it was like a collective. Like, it didn't feel like I was on a label. It just felt like I was a part of a collective of people that just like made cool shit. And it wasn't even like all musicians. It was a very good learning experience.
And iconic, like in Atlanta specifically, right?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I was like, when I joined, I was like, even though I've been around these people all day, it's like still some people, I'm like, that's crazy that like you want to hang out with me. Like, I've just listened to your music for like so long and like idolize you guys.
At the time, would you say it was like pretty local, like a local
yeah.
thing? Yeah.
It really was. I don't know. It was so iconic. Yeah, I feel like I would have not wanted to have it any other way.
It's really like unique stuff. And it reminds me like not in terms of like the production sound, but just in terms of the vibe, like of like the Memphis, like the old Memphis cassette tape, like rap scene, like back in the 90s, or even like the Bay Area rap scene. Like, it just has its own really distinctive, unique sound that you don't hear anywhere else.
Yeah.
When I listen to those songs from Awful.
Agree.
What was it like collaborating with them?
I feel like everything was like so DIY in like a way that I prefer. Like, I prefer to make music in a bedroom with friends. And I feel like just like watching people just like make music when they felt like it was something I had never really seen before. Like, I was so used to like people just sitting on songs forever and perfecting it. And like, I'm not going to make a record till I have 12 songs ready. And this way it just felt like when they made music, it was like, that's what it's supposed to sound like in this moment. Which is kind of how I like to record to this day, because it's like, yeah, I just wrote a song and it's like, I need to get this off my chest now.
So you record if I sit right
on
away.
It, yeah. It's like if you sit on it for a month, like you might just like alter it or change it. And I feel like watching Awful record is just like one take. And it was like, sound good to y'all? Sound good to me? Like, let's put it out tomorrow. Wow. And I was like, dang, that's like what people should do more often.
And how would you put them out?
We were using SoundCloud a lot.
Okay. And were you making physical copies of things at all?
No. Actually, my self-title didn't come out on vinyl until last year.
Really?
Yeah. So I never had records until AMC. That was like the first time I was like really making records.
Oh, that's cool. The songs on your self-titled, were those all written pretty quickly then and just recorded? Or were those songs you had been building from the time you did your first record?
I was kind of building them. But I was recording them one by one. Like, I think to make that record, it took over a year, because I would write a song and then drive to Athens and like play it and record it and then go back home and start over.
Wow. You have a very different sound from most things on that label. You
know? Yeah.
Like, or on the, in that collective. Was your music like a weird fit in a way for that, or?
I mean, I never felt like an outcast. Like, I felt like that's where I belonged at the time.
Yeah.
But it was also like, oh yeah, they don't know what to do with me. Like, like I can't record like a whole band setup in this bedroom. Like I have to like go somewhere else and do this.
What is it about the live band that you feel like works for your songwriting and in your performance style? Like you never got tempted to just like write a song and like just do a quick production in your bedroom?
Right.
On like on Ableton or something?
I don't know how to use Ableton. I literally record all my vocals on GarageBand on all of my records.
Oh, that's great.
But I don't know. I mean, I grew up playing instruments, so it was just like I only knew instruments. Like I love singing on shit, but it's like I could never make this. Like I can only like build instrument after instrument, I feel like, is kind of just all I've known how to do.
So you like to like dip into that world, but like then just yeah. Like go back to your...
I'm like, send me a song and I'll sing on it. But I cannot make this unless you teach me how to use Pro Tools.
Can you write to someone else's song? Like if someone sends you something and they're like, hey, can you... Or do they usually send you lyrics to like, hey, sing this? Or will you come up with your own?
No, yeah, I'll write my own parts.
How different is that for you then?
It's very different, but I feel like that was like one of the biggest things I also took out of being on Awful. Is like, just because we're in the same room together and you happen to want to make music right now, it's like, I'm the only person in the room. So it's like, I'm on the song,
right?
Like just by default. So yeah, I think I just kind of learned and like experimented that way.
Cool.
Just like when it wasn't me in the spotlight and like somebody wanted to just like lend my voice or something.
We'll be right back with my conversation with Faye Webster after a quick break. As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at tmobile.com/now.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire. We're back with more from my conversation with Faye Webster.
Did you grow up playing in a band at all?
No, I didn't. My brother did, but I did not.
You have some members of your band with you today. How long have you been playing with these guys?
Pistol and I, my pedal steel player, we've been playing together for 7 years now. That's kind of how I started. Like, I feel like I was playing music and then I added him to the band. And then from there on, for the rest of the time, it's just like, who wants to play with me and Pistol? Nice. Like, who wants to be in our band?
How'd you guys meet?
I knew I wanted pedal steel because it's just what I grew up listening to. And every time I said, hey, can you help me find a pedal steel player? It was like 30 people said the same person. There's nobody else. like this is the player that you need.
That's cool. Most people have a hard time finding like a bass player, like a drum, like a good a drummer, you know? But like, it's a high bar to find like a pedal steel player. It's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's like, we're really going to do this if I found, you know, right. Once you found someone.
But it's like, you just have to like wait and really find the people that just like have the chemistry and get you. And I don't have to explain shit. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like just people that help me represent what I'm trying to get across.
Do you always play in studio and live, like with like the same crew?
We always record everything live.
That's great.
And then I go home and redo vocals at my kitchen on GarageBand.
That's so funny. What is it about like a band that helps you write?
I think it's more just like, I have this song and I've written this song and it's like, how can I make the best representation of me in this song? If other people are going to hear it, like I truly want it to be the best representation it could be.
So what's the process then? Like, who would you go to first? Like once you have a song?
I don't
song.
Show anybody until we're in the studio.
Like, so I don't everyone
share
gets together.
I don't even like share it with our engineer.
Wow.
Just because I don't want people like plotting on it. Be like, oh, this part, like, this would be so good to play something right here. And I feel like that kind of just like not ruins it, but like, I feel like in the moment is when it's more like, oh, I just played that and it sounded good. So like, let's just do that again.
Right.
And like record it this time, please.
So you want people coming up with their parts like on the spot, not preconceived, like, oh, I could do this. And that's interesting. That doesn't happen a lot anymore.
Yeah. Which is, I feel like from the other side of it, like if it wasn't my song and somebody made me come to the studio and record on demand, I'd be freaked out. But yeah, it's nice to be the only one that knows what's about to happen.
Right. Going from the self-title to Atlanta Millionaires Club, what was the jump there? Like, how did you go from those songs and that place, putting it out through Awful, and then going to, like, Atlanta Millionaires Club?
I don't know. I feel like it was just, like, a natural evolution. And it's not even that different of a record. Like, I feel like throughout my three main records, there's always a song from the latter record that could have been on the earlier one, but not the one two before it. Otherwise, it would have just been like this weird, out-of-place song.
Right.
Like too quick of an evolution, I feel like. But I don't know. I feel like it was just like the right time and place. I met Secretly Canadian, who I love, and they just like feel like family to me at this point. And I just had more songs, and I was like, okay, it's like, I guess it's time to put out another record. And I feel like that's kind of when I noticed that it wasn't just like family listening to my stuff.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's when I kind of, like, got put on the radar. It was truly the perfect time and perfect place in my life.
You were saying how there's, like, always a song, like, that wouldn't fit, like, a couple of albums ago, but probably within the last. But I feel like there's, and there's also, I mean, your albums are, like, super varied. And there's always a song that it feels like is just a complete outlier, just in general,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, Atlanta Millionaires Club, like, Flowers feels like a very, you know, and there's a couple, even like Kingston sounds a little different than some of the others.
Exactly. And it's like, that could have been on my self-titled, but if it was on Run and Tell, then it would have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, who just hopped on the sticks?
And then like on this new one too, Cheers.
Yeah.
And even Overslept sounds kind of different from the rest of the record.
Yeah. Could have been on AMC.
Like on those songs that are kind of outliers, do you look to make a song that's very different from the rest of the album, or is it just happen?
It really just happens because, I mean, when I'm writing these songs at home by myself, like, they're all pretty fucking similar. Like, there's, like,
they sound like they come out, like, you're writing them on a guitar at home.
It's just me being quiet as fuck trying to write a song. And then it's like, there's no way that my shitty Cheers demo from my kitchen table sounds like what Cheers sounds like. But it's just, like, when it was time to, like, all sit together in the same room and play it, it was like, oh, like, this is how it has to sound or else it's going to be weird.
Was it always as loud as it was?
I don't remember. I should go find the demo, but, like, I write songs on an acoustic guitar at home. So it's not like I'm like fucking rocking out.
But then once you took it to the band though, like was it like pretty like right away? Did it?
It truly was.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I feel like that song specifically, like people were scrambling because I started playing it. And it's just like, oh, like it should definitely sound this way. But I don't own any cool shit. So I was just like, people were like pulling pedals out of closets and stuff. Cause I was like, my guitar is just like, I just plug straight into my amp all the time. But yeah, it just like ended up like that.
Right.
No Cheers during the pandemic. Oh, here it is. Oh, it's called, oh, it used to be called Cheers to Each Other. And I was like, that's a horrible name.
Cheers to Each Other.
This is risky.
Kind of is a bad name. It's all right.
Oh, it does kind of sound like that. Oh, it sounds exactly like the record. Let me see what the chorus sounds like. That sounds pretty.
Fuck,
that sounds pretty
accurate. Really good in your demos.
It's just like at my in my bedroom or in my kitchen.
A fucking great voice.
Thank you.
That's crazy. Ever since I heard the album, and I heard this song before the album because it came out before the album, but in a good way, the Spanish guitar or the classical guitar, whatever it would be, I guess called on that song. How did that happen? Such an interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
choice.
I feel like when I started to write a lot, that's when I was like, I think I'm going to like just try and buy different guitars because every guitar I play makes me write something completely different. Like there's songs that I just like wrote on the classical guitar that I could have not written on my harmony, etc. And there's also moments in the studio where it's like the band is playing. It's like, bro, this is not the one for the pedal steel. Or like, bro, this is not the one for the whirly. Like
you
need to hop
off
the sticks and you need to go. With, like, you know what I mean? Like it's just certain moments. And I feel like that song specifically was like, this is how I wrote it. So I feel like that's what it, like, let's switch it up. And I feel like I didn't really switch it up until AMC and Haha was when I was really like, let's try playing other stuff.
So you wrote that song on a classical guitar?
Yeah.
Really?
And I only had like, obviously my rhythm guitar and my vocals. And then I put like just the classical guitar, like mimicking part on my demo.
Do you mind playing a bit of Good Way?
Sure. I didn't know that I was capable of being happy right now, but you showed me how. I didn't know that you were right in front of me until I looked at.
Make me wanna cry.
nuts. And did you know you're gonna have the feature on Overslept, or how did, or that you wanted a feature?
I just knew I wanted one because I just like truly could not finish it, and I was obsessed with Miyahara. I am obsessed still. But yeah, I was like, if she's not on it, then to be honest, I'm fake. Like, if I got anybody else on this record right now, I'm fake.
What attracts you to her, and then also what made you?
Have you heard her music?
Yeah,
she's so good. And I feel like the first time I heard her, I was just like, is this me? Like, is this me and my band playing this song I've never heard before? Wow. Like, I feel so similar to her, but it's also like her brain thinks of stuff I can't think of, but like that I wish I thought of. You know what I mean? Just like the instrumentation and shit on her records are so good.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck, I wish I thought of that. I really appreciate, like, especially in like old Western swing music, just like the really cheesy classic traditional duo songs.
Yeah. Would you say country's like your main, like, is that like, is that the music you listen to the most, would you say, or
not
over time,
even, maybe? But I feel like that is like perhaps the strongest root that I have. Then it's like from there, I'll just like add on other shit that inspires me. I feel like it does stem from country music.
Yeah, it's funny because I never really thought of you, but like, you know, there's like, obviously the pedal steel is kind of like a giveaway that you're into country, but like the songs don't sound particularly country at all. You know, there's so many different like elements in your tracks, you know, it's like there's a little bit of everything in a lot of your songs, you know, like there's a lot of R&B feel. There's like a good R&B feel on a lot, good like folk feel, some country with the pedal steel. And then even with like the adding the classical guitar, like the doubling on the on in a good way, it's like that just sounds like a classic like ballad, you know, like move or something. And it's like all that stuff kind of like just collides in a really cool way. But I didn't really think of it as like country. Like, I want, do you, when you hear songs, when you write songs, do you almost hear them as country songs first?
Not really, but it's just like the way that I know format is just like country music format.
And what do you mean?
Just like even the chords that I prefer to write with that just feel like is a good representation of me, and I just like use them a lot. Or just like I said, the classic format of like, okay, verse then chorus then verse, like, you know, like, I don't know, I feel like it definitely all does stem from just like growing up and years of listening to country music.
Do you mind playing a couple of those chords, like just showing the chords that you...
is one of my favorite chords.
I'm just curious, like, what chords you gravitate towards, too. Like, Jeff Tweedy was talking one time about how he naturally, every time he plays a G. He just, like, that's just the chord he goes to.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sick. I've definitely enjoyed watching Jeff play guitar every night. Also, the first show we played with him, I was like, are you not using in-ears?
Do they not?
No.
Really?
He was like, no, if it's not coming out of a monitor, it doesn't sound like music to me.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
Have you been hanging with them a lot on tour?
I haven't really been an opener in a very long time, so I kind of forgot what it's like. But I really like and appreciate just like the offstage setup that they have. Like, I feel like every venue we have played, it's been like very like community space backstage.
Nice.
And it's just like you're always running into people. You're always like hearing shit. Like, they have a jam room before they go on stage. And it's like, that's cool. I never thought about to warm up before. Like,
so they just jam out like together in a jam room?
Yeah. And it's like, dang, like, I don't know. It's so cool.
Wow. Have you gone into the jam room?
You know, I'm scared.
Has anyone gone
I don't
in?
Want to touch their stuff. I'm like, I probably can't afford this. I'm not going to touch it.
Honestly, if I was on tour with them, I'd probably just ask Nels Klein like 1,001 questions.
Dude, Nels is my favorite person to talk to.
Is he?
I told him in Vegas, I was like, my favorite guitar player is KK Slider. And he was like, I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
And I was like, hell yeah, beat you at your own game. And the next day he looked him up and came back and we talked about it.
It's been beautiful having you.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much. This has been beautiful.
Thanks to Faye Webster for coming through Shangri-La and playing for us. You can check out a playlist of all of our favorite Faye Webster songs at brokenrecordpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brokenrecordpodcast, where you can find all of our new episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Broken Record. Broken Record is produced with help from Leah Rose, Jason Gambrell, Martin Gonzalez, Eric Sandler, and Jennifer Sanchez, with engineering help from Nick Chafee. Our executive producer is Mia LaBelle. Broken Record is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you love this show and others from Pushkin, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted ad-free listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. And please remember to share, rate, and review us on your podcast app. Our theme music's by Kenny Beats. I'm Justin Richmond.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.